Hello, and welcome to another episode of Music's on the Menu. I am one of your hosts, Alex Bird, and alongside me, as per usual, is...
Hugh Dana.
And we are coming to you live from the traditional and ancestral territories of the Musqueam, Tsleil-Waututh, and Squamish Nation peoples in Vancouver at the UBC campus. And if you're a normal listener to CITR at this day and this hour, you've actually never heard our voices before in all likelihood, because we normally aren't on during this time. But as, you know, the way the universe goes and university schedules go, you end up switching around your time slot a bit, and sometimes you end up in a new spot. And sometimes that time slot is Monday at 5 p.m. So we inhabit the space now, and we will inhabit your ears during this time now. So,
this is Music's on the Menu.
this is the show. This is the thing. Here we are now. And it's actually kind of convenient that the thing we're going to be doing today is on the first episode of this new time slot being properly live again, because we're going to be kind of going over the albums we talked about, played some songs from, and discussed last calendar year. And we're just going to kind of give a recap, I guess, see if, like, any of our opinions on those projects have changed. Maybe some revised feelings on them now that we've had more time to really sit with them. And, yeah, just kind of do a little bit of a year in review on the first episode of the new year, of the year of our Lord, 2024. So, here we go.
Yeah, so, just the mic real quick. But, yeah, so... before we start chewing up and spitting out totally new content, we wanted to just kind of review some of the records we really dived into last year, because there were some that we kind of, like we talked about that Paramore album, but we didn't really dive into it like we did, let's say, Let's Start Here.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't we start here with Let's Start Here, the psych rock album brought to us by SoundCloud rapper Lil Yachty. This was one of the first albums you and I maybe fully dissected. And it's been out for around 11 months now. Has your opinion changed on it? Was this a flash in the pan? Have you gone back? Is there any real re-listenable value? Do you still enjoy it?
I still think it's cool. I was listening back to it a bit today in preparation for this, because I try to prepare sometimes. And it's still really cool. It's still a really cool album. It's still really cool that he made a psychedelic rock album, considering everything, all like the kind of off-color hip-hop he had made beforehand. Diving fully into psych rock was a really cool switch for him, and it's still a cool album in that. Although, I think now, though, that the novelty of Lil Yachty's psych rock is worn off, it's still, like, the Black Seminole, for example, the opening track, is still a really cool song instrumentally, but again, like, Yachty's voice, as we said at the time, just does so little, I think. Like, he can sing pretty well, but he's just not a very present vocalist. And the melodies on that song in particular, although there are some songs where the melodies are quite good, like Drive Me Crazy, the melody on Black Seminoles is kind of awkward. And so it's still a really cool project, but I think kind of with the novelty wearing off, just kind of the vocal limitations of Yachty himself kind of become more apparent. And so... it's still cool, but just kind of, like, not... It's cooler than it is good, maybe, from, like, what Yachty himself did on the album versus the artists he brought in to help him with the production and all that.
I'm going to go ahead and say that's probably how the majority of people who listen to feel, because the album hasn't streamed incredibly well. The average is around 9 million plays a song. Drive Me Crazy has 75 million.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously the first few tracks will have more.
Yeah.
But I have to agree with you. This isn't an album that I found myself going back to that often. Although there were songs like Drive Me Crazy, Say Something was my favorite then. That's a song that I actively listened through throughout the year. I listened to it throughout the summer, and Drive Me Crazy obviously blew up on TikTok, and like that was kind of brought back to my attention, and I enjoyed it again. But I mean, I still really enjoy the album. I like, even though, yeah, Lil Yachty can kind of be all over the place vocally and melodically, it's still like cool music to me, mm-hmm. and I really enjoy it. I am a bit shocked. Like, I think we should also talk about the impact of the album in like the music, greater music community or landscape, because this is an album that I thought was maybe going to really catapult him back. And it kind of just had him bob up real quick, and then he kind of disappeared again. And Yachty was someone who, at least in my mind, was kind of only relevant because I would see him with Drake all the time mm-hmm. for a little while. I don't know if you would agree with that. But Yachty was someone who had definitely musically fell off, but he was still kind of in our minds. Like, he would do things with Kai Cenat, and he would be with Drake all the time. And he's a really cool guy. Mm-hmm. So, like, he's someone that is, like, good to have in the music environment and stuff. But I'm wondering if he... Oh, wow.
What? What are you pointing at? I don't...
There is a mouse in the studio, but...
Oh, great.
He was behind that. But, right, look, on the wall, up there.
Oh, there it is. Okay. Well, that's great.
Anyways, that would make sense that it's in that old-ass speaker. But let's ignore that and continue on with...
It's cool that he's around. I think he...
Maybe let me say this to you. Did you expect this to... Like, I'm kind of shocked that this was kind of a flash in the pan moment.
It was. Like, just looking at... Yeah, I can see it in the reflection of the window there. Look, just try to... Oh, God.
Anyways.
Oh, man.
Staring at me. But, yeah.
Sorry, everybody, in rush hour traffic right now, listening to two people in the studio with a mouse. But anyway,
it's a cute mouse.
For me, at least it's a cute mouse. For me, I think that it kind of was a flash in the pan. Like, the songs he came out with afterwards, like Strike, sound.
Yeah, were much bigger songs. Like Strike, I feel like I heard on the radio. I heard my friends playing Strike.
But Strike was also nothing like Let's Start Here. It was pretty much like back to standard hip hop, or not really hip hop.
Kinda, it was his sound.
It's still, yeah, not standard hip hop. That's strong, but it was rap again. It wasn't more psychedelia or whatever.
And maybe that was his plan, because that is a good point. I forgot that Strike was actually a pretty big song. Like, Strike actually had him on the map longer than Let's Start Here did, and he followed that up with like, I think, Tesla and then Cement Freestyle or whatever. But I was hoping that this would be I'm going to assume he doesn't make another. Oh, he's gone. I'm going to assume he doesn't make another.
It was over there. Doesn't matter.
I know. I'm going to assume he doesn't make another psych rock album.
I mean, yeah, probably not. Because I think also just because the amount of collaborators that he had to like pull in to do that album, I don't think is like a sustainable operation.
Yeah, he did mention that it probably cost him a lot of money to pay for all of those people and all of those studio sessions. And maybe he didn't pay for them. Maybe it was the record label. Mm-hmm. But Let's Start Here is an album that I still enjoy.
Yeah.
I'm shocked that it kind of shook the water a bit, but then kind of went away. Maybe that's what you expect from just a rapper in general, even though it had some crazy shock value. I remember when we first heard it, our mouths were on the floor. But
I do think, though, that he's that, like, Yachty's profile, though, has definitely risen a lot after the release of this album. Even if none of the songs hugely stuck around, like, he's still producing. He's still, like, more of a music producer now. I think he's more kind of behind than in front at this point.
I agree.
Because he had, like, on the new Drake album, on For All the Dogs, he had, I think he had production credits on more than just the song that he was on.
Oh, right? Yeah. He has production credits on other people's music. Mm-hmm. He is a really fun and pretty novel producer.
Yeah.
He did do that song with Zach Bia that kind of sounded similar to this, but that might have been before Strike. I think it was called One of Those Days.
Okay. So it brought him back, though. It did, I think, bring him a bit out of the ashes still, because he was still kind of nothing. Still, nothing is so harsh. He was still kind of back in irrelevance a bit before this project came out, and then he released it, and now he's like, still, if nothing else, more part of the consciousness than he was before it.
Yeah. Music
itself didn't stick. Re-listenability, I don't feel like is super high.
And is that because it's such a shift?
Not because it's a shift. I think it's just the particular genre of music and my own listening habits don't intersect super hard. Although I do, like, it's one of those projects, though, that I should listen back to more because it is really well made. So I should go back to it more. And hopefully, maybe this conversation will reinvigorate that, and I will, in fact, go back and listen to it a bit more, because I think it deserves that.
Yeah. I'm also going to say that I still enjoy it. I don't listen to it too often. I mean, maybe if I'm going to do Magic Mushroom somewhere, this will be like
would be a good soundtrack for that.
But it was a cool moment. I think that's where it's going to stay, and maybe where it should stay. But it is really well made, and it's cool that he did that. And I did think we had said that we hoped that more artists would kind of shoot off from it. We kind of got that, maybe, but...
What do you mean by that?
We'll get to that later.
Okay,
but
sure.
We, following Lil Yachty, we reviewed Sam Smith's Gloria. I mean, I was lukewarm on the record then, and I'm like, that's not an album where my perception has greatly changed. Same as Paramore's This Is Why.
Can we talk about Paramore?
You want to talk about?
I re-listened to that whole album today.
Oh, okay.
Because that album, I don't think I gave enough credit at the time for how good it is.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's, like, The News is a phenomenal song. I think that song, that The News on the Paramore album, This Is Why, I feel like that song really just captures the experience of consuming news media in the information age, where there's a war, Haley Williams?
Yep.
Yes, okay. Because I messed it up when we talked about it at the time. I think I called her Haley Seinfeld. Yeah, like, Haley Williams, her line is, like, there's a war on the other side of the planet, and, like, I have to somehow, like, stay on top of caring about this, and then there's just, like, all the other stuff going on in your own life domestically, plus there's all this crap going on the other end of the world that I can't even really conceptualize because I'm not there. And it's just, I think it just kind of captures the 21st century news consumption experience very well. I didn't articulate that very well.
No, yeah, you did.
But the song articulates it very well.
I mean, Paramore doesn't drop that often.
No.
And the problem with us talking about that record then was we didn't really know if we wanted to talk about it at the time. Mm-hmm. I remember us kind of deciding the night before and me rushing listening to it. And I listened to it again. It's not my favorite Paramore record.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing Paramore does is bad. The three of them, they're too good. They've been in music too long.
Mm-hmm.
It's always going to be really good and really crisp, and the ideas will be super organic and novel, like you said. We played Liar.
We played one of the later tracks.
Yeah, we played Liar. Following Liar, we...
I also want to pimp out Say Comme Ça, because that song also talks a bit about, like, prescriptions and, like, caffeine medication and stuff. As, like, a means. So I think that was also pretty cool, too.
Yeah,
I think that album just kind of captures the era we live in pretty well.
Yeah, thematically, it's that's maybe it's my favorite part of the mm-hmm. record, is how strong how contemporary the ideas behind the songs are.
Yeah.
And how relatable, how big they are, but how relatable they are.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, the consumption of news and opioid crisis and maybe how, and indulging in drugs and things
like
that.
It's not even just like indulging in drugs. That's not really what it's about. But I think it's just like how everyone kind of like is addicted to caffeine. And that's like a thing that just so many human beings are on. And we don't even think about it as a drug, even mm-hmm. though it is.
And I am not addicted to caffeine. I can't do caffeine. But let's transition to the record we reviewed after was M83's Fantasy Part 1. We really, I mean, that was a record that you and I both liked. It was a kind of a pivot from what we usually talk about. It was more of an ambient kind of soundscape record.
Yeah.
An album I still enjoy. I mean, everything M83 does, I'm usually going to enjoy because I like records like...
Would have made well for CITR's 24 Hours of Radio Art. That's for sure.
Yeah, like, I,
M83 is really cool.
M83 is very cool.
Yeah, I feel like that fantasy stuff, I guess now the full record came out.
Yeah, the second part came out. It's still cool. Not, I like the first part more, but...
Yeah, just looking back at, like, the playlist and looking at that stuff, you know, I was like, oh, yeah, we did talk about M83. That was, like, a thing we did. Mm-hmm. It didn't, I guess, going through the recap, didn't, like, stick with me too hard. It was definitely cool music, but it also just looking back on it, it was like, I kind of just did that for a thing to talk about for the radio. It was still cool, but it didn't, one of the less sticky things we've, you know, gone over. Over the course of this radio show for me personally.
Now, the first record that where my perception has truly changed is Don Toliver's Lovesick.
Really?
Now, when this came out, you and I were both pretty disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
Don Toliver is someone, because there's certain people who aren't great on features. You had talked about how you had thought 21's features were lacking, and then his new record came out, and we were both pretty impressed. Obviously, we'll talk about that another time, but... When Lovesick came out, this was one of the records that I like really. I listened to it a lot before we talked about it, like top to bottom 4 or 5 times. And I just thought that there was a lot of melodic incoherence thematically and like his topics. I never have a problem with what people talk about. I just thought that it just wasn't as cool and as intact and as catchy as I know Don Toliver can be. I mean, we cited a million things. We cited his verse on the SZA record that had come out maybe 6 weeks prior, and we were like, this is really good, and we don't feel like there's anything that good. However, my opinion has changed, and I have to say that it is due to my friends. I actually wasn't listening to this record after, but my friends were really listening to this record a lot, and it was actually the deluxe version, which came out like, I don't even remember, like almost immediately after.
Mm-hmm. As deluxe editions do nowadays.
And I really, there's songs on, I really do like a lot of these songs on the records. I really like No Pull from the deluxe, Embarrassed from the deluxe is cool. Like I didn't think it was cool when I first listened to it, but when I was in the car and the environment was different, I was like, okay, this is really cool. Lovesickness, the intro track, the original intro track, I really liked. For me, both Caliucci songs, or sorry, there's just one Caliucci song. I ended up really liking the Brent Faiyaz song. I ended up really like Doing It Right. Private Landing was a song I actually did end up enjoying. Initially, we both said that, oh, this is kind of lame. But what changed my perception on that was I saw it live, and I was like, oh, okay. This is the environment that it's made for. This is a really cool song.
Okay.
And I have to say, this is an album that I've almost 180'd on. I really thought it was a disappointment. I still think that there aren't as many highs as I think Don Toliver should have, because I know he's capable of them, because we've seen it all over the place. But there are far less lows than I thought. There's way more songs that I enjoy than I originally did. And I think, to me, it's just, I need to put myself in positions where I listen to music I listen to with my headphones in different scenarios and situations, because there are multiple songs on this record that I began to enjoy when I wasn't listening by myself.
Okay.
And because of that, I really like this Don. I really do enjoy this Don Toliver record way more than I did. There are songs on here that I will go and listen to by myself now that I thought when it first came out, and I was like, and maybe a problem is that when these records come out, we are like listening to them so intensely that we
trying to like
that like we
have an have a take
yeah,
for
that,
all the
all
elements
of the fluff around the song that like is supposed to be there and supposed to contribute, we strip out, and it's just we just listen to like certain sections and stuff. And maybe that's, maybe I was guilty of that on this record. And that is a record. And like I said, this is the first record from last year that I was, that my opinion has changed.
Interesting.
I think that Lovesick by Don Toliver is quite a bit better than I initially thought. It did take me quite a few months to think that, mm-hmm. and multiple different experiences, but I do enjoy this record a lot more now.
Interesting. That's good. That's cool. I didn't think about that album at all again after we talked about it. It just, none of the songs like came up again or in mixes or whatever.
I have to agree though. The re-listen value, I still think, isn't great.
And I think, like, just after we talked about it, I just kind of wrote Don Toliver off a bit as a solo artist for me. Like, I think he's a really excellent voice to have in the genre because he just sounds so unique and is a unique person, a unique artist in the, kind of like a trap singer, which no one else is.
Yeah, that's a fantastic way to put it.
But I just didn't think this album captured any of that, really, at the time.
I still agree with you. I still think it's rather weak compared to some of the other musical releases he's had. Mm-hmm. I don't really think Don Toliver's put out an album that is as good as I could expect from him.
No.
And why that is, there's a multitude of reasons. But, gas this record up a bit, but I do think the re-listen value isn't great. There's just a couple songs that I used to like, 3 or 4 songs, and now I like about 8 or 9. But outside of those, the rest of the record I still don't really love. Mm-hmm. Maybe part of that is because there is other Don Toliver that I can digest in that I think is much better.
Okay.
But
Yeah, there is a lot of like better, but no, that's cool though that you spent time with it. Your opinion changed. I feel like that's a very Hugh Dana way for your opinion to change on a record, where you were just like in a different setting listening to the same song and it hit different for you.
Yeah, happens to me a lot.
Because from what I've gathered, you seem to be a very like context based music enjoyer, if that makes sense.
Fair enough, man.
So it's 5:23. We should probably like play a song or something, cause we got advertisers to worry about.
Should we play something from? Should we play some Don Toliver?
Might as well play Don Toliver. That's what we left off on. What's a song that you've warmed on?
I don't see a clean version.
That's not true. We played a song of off the of song this earlier.
That of one of the songs that I. Well, let me find it.
Oh, we played. We played For Me, which just happens to be clean, yeah. Apparently.
But now I cannot find a clean version of No Pull, which is a song I really like, and I can't find a...
Well, then how about we play The News, then, by Paramore?
Yeah, let's good play call, because you did hype that up. Mm-hmm. Not Party Next Door.
And there's a full clean version of that record, too.
And there's a remix with the Linda Lindas. Interesting.
Would you look at that?
Alrighty. This is The News of Paramore's last record, This Is Why.
Most recent, not last. They will still presumably come out with more music.
Quite the opposite.
In the beginning, there was Thumb.
Something strange and funky condensing out of the primordial ooze. Then, underground house parties and backyard raves. Stuff of legends still whispered about and blossomed. And now, the space barn blasts off, and Thumbosaurus is ready to engage a new frontier in the Thumbiverse. Don't miss Thumbosaurus live at the Biltmore Cabaret, January 18th, presented by MRG Live. Head to admitone.com to get your tickets now.
Please fall into a deep, comfortable state of sleep, and then have a friend or associate play the audio.
Fridays from 2 o'clock to 3:30 p.m. It's the Beppy Creston Presents radio show. It's CITR's 24 hours of radio art in a snack size format. Difficult music, harsh electronics, dark ambient, drone, spoken word, cut up, collage, and general Creston weirdness. Beppy Creston Presents, Friday at 2 o'clock on CITR FM 101.9. Streaming at theplayer.citr.ca.
TransCare BC works to enhance the coordination of trans health services across the province and offer expanded health services to support transgender communities. They are doing this by developing gender-affirming client-centered models of service, ensuring access to gender-affirming and supportive healthcare that is equitable and available, and supporting network development to make sure trans and gender-diverse individuals, their families, and healthcare providers have access to information, resources, and support. Check out phsa.ca to learn more about this program and lend your voice to help create an inclusive and supportive system for trans members of our community.
Hey Vancouver! For fans of Ocean Alley, Flip Turn, and Still Woozy, alt rockers Juice are bringing their signature blend of rock, pop, R&B, and hip-hop to the Biltmore Cabaret on February 3rd, with support from Hembry. Tickets are on sale now. Get yours at admitone.com.
what is CI Terror's reputation, being that it's been around for so long?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, it's very active in the community because it's run by community members and UBC students, obviously. Whether you're into radio as a hobby or whether you want to get some real-world experience, it's a great place to go. It's like a very open and creative environment. Everybody that's, you know, working here seems really jazzed about what they're doing at the station. Just lots of really like good, like challenging music and spoken word content. It's a great station.
CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Vancouver, British Columbia, on unceded Coast Salish, Musqueam Territory. Learn how to get involved at citr.ca.
And we back, and we back, and we are back.
We're back.
Nice breathing.
Well, yeah. Anyways, we'll quickly touch on Six Slacks. I mean, just to re-jump into our retrospective look at the albums we
looked at,
discussed in 2023, now that it is 2024. I know that you don't probably have a lot to say about Daniel Caesar's Never Enough and Black's / Six Slacks Since I Have a Lover.
I don't. Not really.
I just want to say that Since I Have a Lover was a record I was initially pretty disappointed with, largely because it had been so long in between his records that actually ended up kind of growing into a conversation, how long is too long.
Mm-hmm.
It's a record that I have enjoyed. It's kind of steadily enjoyed more and more. Mm-hmm. Same with Never Enough. Just two records that I would put in the category as I listened to them more, I enjoyed them more. Both really well put together. Maybe not what I would have wanted from Six Slacks. Daniel Caesar, fantastic record. Really good R&B. Across the spectrum. I haven't listened to either of them too much. I did listen to them quite a bit when they came out afterwards, and then Daniel Caesar's album I found was fitting for the summer, and I enjoyed it then. And I know you wanted to touch on Yeats' Afterlife.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which came out like a year ago.
Yeah.
Quite a while ago.
Pretty much at this point. And mainly just because Yeats is someone, we've talked about him, I feel like, a bit on the show, and he's just somebody who kind of continues to defy my expectations, like, in terms of just, like, how far he's been able to go. Because I still remember when you first showed me Yeat, and
what song was it?
I don't know.
It must have been, it was probably, Sorry About That.
It was probably Sorry About That, or Money So Big, or
yeah,
one of those, at this point, classic Yeat songs, which is just insane that we can say that there is such a thing. Because those songs just were so weird and had such strange instrumentals, and the flow was just so, it was just weird. It was just weird music that kind of made no sense, that was just kind of the apex, that to me sounded like the apex of, like, Yeats sounded like what people who are out of touch with hip-hop thinks that modern hip-hop sounds like.
Yes, like your old heads, pretty much.
Yeah, like people who think that every rap song is just about, like, superficial topics with, like, the same beat and, like, yeah, incoherent flows.
Strictly
and
braggadocious, almost.
Yeah, just, and, like, it sounds like what they think everything else sounds like. And then he's just been able to, I think just because of how weird it all is, has just been able to maintain and get bigger and bigger and bigger. And as we've talked about, become really one of the only new artists to break out in hip hop since.
And continue to rise. Not like one of those TikTok guys who show up and are gone.
Yes. They've continued to rise pretty much since the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Afterlife, the album, when we spoke about it at the time, I was still kind of dismissive of it. Like, going in, I didn't really expect to like it, and I was impressed, and I love the opening track to that album, No More Talk.
Yeah.
That is,
he's really rapping on that song.
Yeah, that song is amazing. But, and then, like, but then for the rest of the album, I was still just like, dude, I can't do a full Yeet album. Like, this stuff just doesn't translate well to a full album.
I mean, it was an hour and seven minutes. It was a tough listen, I have to admit.
It was too long. And that's still true.
At around 45 minutes, I was struggling as well.
Mm-hmm. And there's still, you know, deep cuts, I guess, throughout that album that are still kind of just pointless to listen to today. But he's continued to come out with singles, chief among them being... Bigger Than Ever.
Yeah, and what a song that is, man.
Which is another just really cool, very different song from what he started out with. And yeah, Afterlife was the moment that, as we look back on it now, like really turned Yeet from an underground dude to someone who has a feature on a Drake song.
Yeah.
And not only has a feature on a Drake song, but one kind of controls it's a Drake song with a Yeet feature, but it's a Yeet song with Drake on it, effectively. IDGAF on For All the Dogs. Like, it's sure it's billed as a Drake song, but everything about that song is Yeet. And just the fact that he's on an album like that's so high profile. And it's not like he's some random feature. Like, that was one of the most streamed songs on the entire album, if not the most popular song on that album. And so just the rise that this man has had, this man Noah Smith, has been very, very impressive. And I'm very curious to see what the next...
And we're going
to
review it because apparently it's coming soon. He's been teasing it, 2093.
Yeah.
It's probably going to be... something we can't even comprehend yet, because that's kind of what Yeet does.
Mm-hmm. As long as Benny X is on the beat.
And that's kind of another thing, is that I feel like
The other thing, too, is that's really brought about the rise of Benny X, the producer.
Yeah, exactly. Or maybe not the rise, but everyone kind of realized that, Benny X is, like, world-class. Like, Benny X is... And anytime I hear Benny X's...
producer tag?
I'm, like, instantly take the song way more seriously.
Yeah. And like, I get excited when I hear the little stuttering.
Yeah.
Not even the full tag, just the stutter.
And a lot of that comes from Benny and Filthy. There obviously are other people in I'm Working on Dying, but those are, like, the two main guys. And I feel like that Afterlife really catapulted that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was Yeet's kind of like oozing voice, kind of hard to discern on these like actual instruments.
Yeah.
And it was just like, what's going on here? And then like you realize, oh, it's all one dude. It's Benny X. And like, yeah, Benny X is kind of like one of the top three producers right now. I mean, I know Metro Boomin kind of holds number one, but he is damn near two, if not two.
Bigger Than Everything, not Bigger Than Ever.
Bigger Than Everything, yeah. Anyways, we'll transition because Yeet's going to come up again.
Yeah.
Three records that I like damn near adored this year all really defined my summer and I listened to throughout the summer. The Jonas Brothers, the album, Post Malone's Austin, and Metro Boomin Presents Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
Mm-hmm.
Those are three records that we didn't talk about Jonas Brothers. We briefly talked. Actually, we did talk about Post Malone.
We went in on Post Malone.
All of those... Like, those are some of, like, those are records that I just continue to digest and enjoy to this day. Like, those aren't just, like, Six Slack and Daniel Caesar where I'm like, yeah, these are good. And every time I listen to them, I'm reminded that these are good. These are, like, albums that, like, I have, like, over 8 or 9 songs on. Like, those are records that, they're not my favorite. We'll get into my favorite record of the year. But particularly Metro Boomin Presents Spider-Verse. That is an unbelievable record. So cool. That is, I mean, when that record came out, like, I listened to the record before I saw the movie, and so rarely do I feel like a soundtrack makes the movie that much better. Like, maybe since Shrek has like a soundtrack just like really made me enjoy the movie that much more. Maybe one of the reasons why, like, the second Spider-Verse is one of my favorite movies ever is largely because of how much I enjoy the soundtrack away from the movie.
For me, talking about Spider-Verse, I was actually like kind of surprised by how little Metro Boomin songs were actually a part of the soundtrack of the movie. Like Self Love comes in pretty early, and Hummingbird's in there, but
Link Up's in there for a second.
Yeah, Link Up's in, yeah, but I didn't actually feel like it was that much present in the movie. This album is more of like just songs inspired by,
uh-huh,
as opposed to songs for the film. But yeah, it's still a really cool soundtrack, and it gave us the greatest we'll ever hear from Coil Array as well.
Likely, very likely.
Yeah,
that's probably a fact.
I've listened to some stuff since out of curiosity, and it's just kind of a disaster.
Yeah, all of the Coil Array that I've liked, she has not really been in charge creatively.
Yeah.
Hummingbird
with James Blake, still a song I listened to today.
I mean,
just so...
All the Way Live is probably my favorite Metro Boomin beat of all time.
I just didn't feel anything about All the Way Live, man.
I still listen to almost every song on here, except for Silken Cologne and Danger and Nas Morales. Like, I love Giving Up, Nonviolent Communication, Home, Self-Love, Link Up, Calling For You, Home. Like, it's just an album that really defined last summer for me. Same with Austin. We didn't talk about Austin that much, but we did.
We did.
That's a really good Post Malone record. I don't think that album gets enough love as it should. That is a fantastic record.
I thought it was fine.
But, I mean, him just being able to constantly kind of change up the sound and it still kind of sounds similar and still be really good. I mean, Post Malone's consistency is incredibly impressive. I know you didn't listen to Jonas Brothers, because why would you?
I listened to Waffle House today.
Except for that. Waffle House is one of the worst songs on that record.
Okay, good.
Because
I was like, yeah, this is cool, but I remember Hugh lauding this song.
Yeah, because I just couldn't believe that the Jonas Brothers, like, that was them. Like, I remember them from the Disney Channel show, and they had come up with, like, this really cool, expansive track. I was like, wow, this record could be great. I really liked the Jonas Brothers album. There are some cool instrumentation all around it. I mean, they're just really good, man. That's three guys who have all had success. They're all just making music they really like. That's what happens. There's still a lot of there's still two records I really want to touch on.
Shout out Austin, I guess. It was for me, it was fine. I cannot apply the same amount of praise, but it's like a good baseline, you know. Nothing's like super high, but there's no real lows either across the whole thing. It's just kind of steady pop listening. All pretty, you know, like a pretty secure record.
Mm-hmm. I think we should quickly move on now, just for the sake of time.
Yeah, yeah.
To Utopia.
Yes.
Which is my favorite record of the year. I mean, I was just, the first time I heard it, I was kind of confused, and the second time I heard it, I was stunned. Travis Scott is still him.
Mm-hmm.
To change your sound as drastically as he did, and it's still pretty
Travis Scott.
I think it's very different. There's no more of the straight up and the booming 808s. When I first heard this, I was like, "What is going on here?" It felt really stripped, kind of odd. Drums kind of coming from all over the place. It felt like the opposite of Astroworld, which was like in your face, booming, huge, taking you to Astroworld, wants you to be in space. This felt totally different. This felt stripped.
It's an industrial hip hop album, which is what I called it at the time. And he's just a phenomenal like composer of sound.
He is.
Like Circus Maximus is a song that I kind of like was a little, I was a bit lower on initially, just because it has the drums from Black Skinhead in it, and it's like, okay, this album already sounds a lot like Yeezus. I know you're straight up just using the same drums that Kanye used on like the most popular song from that album. Come on, man.
But I like Circus Maximus more than Black Skinhead.
But it's still like a really cool song with a lot going on, and like The Weeknd's floating in there, and it's still just really big and sounds amazing. Like, it's just sonically constructed so well. All the beats. There's still I mean, the one complaint with this album that I think is pretty well understood at this point is, like, there's not a lot narrative. There's not a huge amount narratively going on, I feel like, on some of the songs.
My narrative.
I couldn't tell you what Circus Maximus the song is actually trying to be about, other than just a really cool soundscape. But it is a really cool soundscape.
I mean, he did perform at Circus Maximus, so.
Yeah, that's like what the tour is called. It's like the Circus Maximus tour.
I know, but Circus Maximus is a thing. Is the structure. I just haven't. I didn't. It's like it's probably an entendre for what he's feeling like, because Circus Maximus is where they race horses, I believe. But I mean, I just think Utopia is incredibly impressive. The dialogue I wanted from Travis Scott.
Are you seeing the rat again?
Yeah, now it's on the floor.
Okay.
The dialogue I want. So maybe watch your feet. But the dialogue I wanted from Travis Scott, I was fed. I just kind of really wanted to know how he was feeling about the whole Astroworld catastrophe, disaster. And one, I think he obviously directly addresses it on My Eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also think he talks about how it made him feel on Parasail. And I was like, all right, that's what I needed.
Yeah.
And because Travis Scott doesn't ever give me anything. Travis Scott was I remember we loved Travis Scott because of what he embodied. He embodied that life of being like wealthy and young. And he had these insane monochrome cars and he did all these drugs and he lived in the hills and he got the prettiest girl of our age. And so I never really need anything like that from Travis Scott. But I mean, Utopia to me is just so impressive. It's as good, if not better, than Astroworld, in my opinion. Some of my favorite songs, like Telekinesis is one of my favorite songs of the last like 5 years.
Telekinesis is a song too that is exempt from the lack of narrative complaints, because I think it has one mainly driven by Future and SZA, but
I mean, it's just awesome.
Really cool. It's still really cool. I'm just picking at the fact that it is something that like I listen to, think about when I'm listening to like Hyena or why am I being dumb? Thank God and
Sirens and such.
Sirens, Meltdown. Like, Meltdown's kind of just a second go. I mean, Meltdown is a second attempt at Sicko Mode. It has three sections. It's Drake first verse. Wow.
No, it's totally different. Because Drake tries. Drake. No, Drake but it's shows but up it, with
the
a whole
structure.
Different
the structure of the song
oh,
is
yeah,
the
yeah.
exact.
It's fine.
But it is it like it's still.
What's
like,
wrong
you're
with
just,
it? What's wrong with it?
You're just trying to do your most popular song again with the same guy. Like,
did you have a problem with All My Friends?
No, because that's like. I mean, that's just a recurring feature. There's nothing wrong with a recurring feature, but like the structure of this, the song moves through three phases, just like Sicko Mode did. And there's a beat switch. And I was half expecting Drake. When I was listening to the song for the first time, I was expecting in that third section for Drake to come in, because they sort of tease that, but then he ultimately doesn't, which then makes it different in a way. But they were going for it's sick. They were trying to make Sicko Mode Part 2 with Meltdown. It's still a cool song. That doesn't take away from the fact that it's still one of the better songs on the album, I think. But it and I do like Drake's part. But it's just the same. You struck gold with Sicko Mode, and we're trying to strike gold again with Meltdown. That's my feeling on it. Fiend's a ton of fun. It's a really good album.
I don't feel that way about Meltdown because. Now I realize that I think he was using Meltdown to see how people would feel about the whisper voice for First Person Shooter.
Mm.
And we'll switch, maybe we transition into For All the Dogs Now, which, as more time passes and more records come out, I enjoy this record more and more and more.
I was expecting you to say more and more.
And
just because I know you.
And what it is that I feel like I just take for granted the floor of Drake records. Like, the floor is just insanely high. Like, there were some parts on the Kid Laroi record and the last 21 Savage record where I was like, and then I was, or they were trying to make kind of contemporary analogies. And I was like, oh, dude, I take Drake's just consistency for granted way too much. And I really like For All the Dogs. I don't like it as much as Utopia, but it fed me. And it's really long. I can't listen to it all the way through again, but I still love For All the Dogs. It's 2023 Drake. I'm always going to love Drake. You know I will.
I'm just looking through the track list for All the Dogs now, seeing where I sit on some of these songs. First-person shooter's still really cool, of course. IDGAF with Yeet is a song that's grown on me, I think. The Yeet part in particular. I don't know. Like, Calling for You is an unlistenable song.
I really like the first part. I really like Friday's voice, so I like that sample. I don't ever listen past the monologue.
Yeah, but that's the problem with the song, and that's what renders it kind of unlistenable for me.
Yeah.
And then, like, I'm looking at it, like, What Would Pluto Do is...
I really like that song.
I don't know.
It's like
didn't really get into it.
He just tried to do Jumbotron shit popping twice, and I love Jumbotron shit popping.
I think just the idea too of What Would Pluto Do is like a terrible way to think about stuff, but it is kind of funny.
Yachty has some good
Another Late Night. I think that had a really really cool instrumental. Although again, like I'm thinking about Lil Yachty produced it, and I'm just thinking about
yeah he did.
The flow and everything, and like I'm 8 a.m. in Charlotte's great. All the Parties was
Rich Baby Daddy's amazing.
Rich Baby Daddy's a ton of fun.
Yeah,
that song's
that's the best song on the album.
That song is really really cool. I don't know. I
loved Bahamas Promises and Tried. I showed you Tried Our Best.
Yeah, Tried Our Best. Yeah,
it's good, man. The floor is just good.
It's that song or that album. Yeah, like all the beats are really good. I'm just not as high at all on most of the stuff here. Like, it's cool, you know, but I'm not.
It's hard to talk about Drake, man, because what hasn't been said?
Yeah.
We have 8 minutes left. I want to move on to a record I liked more than For All the Dogs, which is Troye Sivan's Something to Give Each Other, which is a fantastic record.
Now that's an album I'm extremely high on.
Yeah, top to bottom. As time goes by, I like this record more and more. Same with
just a nice 10 songs, you know. Nothing too long. 10
I mean, it's just
really good
man.
Songs.
That fantastic record, dude.
Have you know, flows well, starts out with like the high notes of like I'll give you everything and then Still Got It where it's like oh, we're actually kind of. Then you have the lull in the middle of, like, the down, like, relationship, like, starts high,
yeah,
lusty.
Yeah, Can't Go Back, baby.
Lusty, and then, yeah, Can't Go Back, Still Got It, where we're in the low point, and then we kind of come out of the tunnel with Honey and whatnot at the end.
I mean, so this is one of the, I think this is one of the most impressive records of the year. Not as impressive as Utopia, sonically, but close. I mean... I don't know if Troye, the idea to switch, to make a dance album, not as house as Honestly Nevermind, more closer to Renaissance.
Mm-hmm.
He just killed it, man.
Yeah.
And this is the best. I mean, obviously, I'm obsessed with Honestly Nevermind, but that's a different thing. This is the best attempt at making like a dance record. I think this is better than Renaissance. I mean, he just
God, I don't know if it's better than Renaissance.
I mean, I like it more than Renaissance.
I remember being incredibly impressed with Renaissance.
Yeah, Renaissance is impressive. I just think there's more songs that are more enjoyable on this. Like, I don't think there's a song on Renaissance as good as What's the Time Where You Are. Like that
Break
is like,
My Soul is so freaking good, man.
I like Cuff It more than Break My Soul.
I'm not actually that big on Cuff It.
Really?
Yeah. It's fun, but like I like for me, like of the two like big hits of that album, like Break My Soul is like, way high for me.
Really?
Yeah.
Cuff It is more fun for me.
That's fair. It is fun.
I mean, I just think that Troye Sivan hit the nail on the head with making a record that doesn't sound like your old stuff.
But I disagree that it doesn't sound like his old stuff. I think this is pretty sonically, I think this is pretty consistent for him. This is just kind of like the evolution
into straight dance music.
Is it? Yeah.
Because I remember when the first time we listened to "Got Me Started," you were like,
"Have you listened to Bloom? Have you listened? You've listened to My My No the Troye Sivan album, My 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 Plum Dance to This."
I'm talking about
Bloom.
The albums.
Yeah, I'm talking about Troye Sivan's last album, Bloom.
Yeah, yeah. Bloom felt like After Hours to me, though. It just felt like a mainstream pop record. that didn't just have like the field or rush and like just the house drums there. The main thing for me is that the drums.
It's like it's an evol. I'm not saying it's the same. It's like but it just feels like to me like kind of the just the evolution of what he's doing arrives really? At this. Because
I would have thought the evolution would have been more like Don FM, where you kind of go backwards sonically as you start using older sounds. Instead, he just changed up the drums.
I don't feel like this album sounds. I don't feel like Bloom though is similar to After Hours though.
No. After Hours. Is
I think you're better, maybe using them as like an approximation.
Yeah.
Just in my opinion, I think this is just like kind of the evolution of having a song like Plum into One of Your Girls or What's the Time Where You Are. Like to me, it feels more natural, but it is really, really, really good, and definitely also one of my favorite albums of the year. And I'm very glad that it's very good because I've been rocking with Troye Sivan for a minute now. Also, Strawberries and Cigarettes. Like I feel like he's been in this department for dancing around this department for a while.
I mean, I don't think any of those sound the same. I mean, largely because he's using.
I'm not saying the same. I'm saying the progression.
I know. I don't see that.
This album to me is not left field. It's not a surprise.
I think the production is way left field. Just to use all of the like the house samples and the house drums throughout it, just because he usually doesn't do like the strictly house drums. When I mean house, I mean like you know what I mean. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1. Like always being there. Every beat. I think we should quickly talk about Tate McRae, because that album is growing and growing on me. Awesome record. Same with Kid Laroi's. Kid Laroi's record the first time, which I thought I would start to dislike.
Mm-hmm.
Hasn't. It's still really cool, man.
Yeah.
I still look at it like, wow, Kid Laroi, this is really cool from him. There's like just sonically, the beats are really cool. I love that it really, like Kid Laroi always, we talked about how he always feels like he was kind of like a sad SoundCloud rapper. He actually feels, the emotion feels real and palpable. Another record I was impressed by. Bad Bunny's record, I really like now. Nadie sabe lo que va a pasar mañana. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Those are three records that I think that we'd listen to that are, I have continued to enjoy more and more. I would say the only record I dislike more now than then is Afterlife. Afterlife is just a hard listen.
Yeah, I mean, it's not following the praise. Like, it is still not a. It's still an imperfect record. It's still a hard listen to get through all those songs in one go. But I did feel the need to take the time to acknowledge the impact that album has created.
Can you briefly tell me your top five from the year?
Top five from the year. Ooh, okay. In no particular order of stuff we talked about for this show. Again, no particular. I'm going to, Something to Give Each Other by Troye Sivan, firmly up there. Utopia, Travis Scott. We didn't talk about it, but Endless Summer Vacation with Miley Cyrus was one of the highlights of the year for me. That was just a really, really good breakup pop album.
Mm-hmm.
Violet Chemistry, I really love that beat. Paramore's in there. And then the Logic album, which we also... Actually, Laroi. Is Laroi better than Logic? Laroi album. Yeah. Laroi album is better than Logic because it doesn't have freaking 2-minute long skits at the end of every song.
For me, I could say 1, Utopia. 2, Spider-Verse. 3, Troye Sivan. 4, For All the Dogs. 5, Post Malone.
And now it's 6 p.m. and we have to sign off. So thank you all for listening.
Next week, we will dissect...
Something.
It's not Kanye West. It's American Dream by 21 Savage.
Yeah, we'll definitely talk about that. Maybe something else as well. Probably something else. We always find things. But yeah, enjoy your Monday.
Adieu. All right, where's that damn mouse? Let's get out of here. We'll be right back.
joyful.